Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners of Chumpa Radio Islam International. We welcome you once again to the program, 7:09. Yes, it is weekend time, and it is time for the car program, the Rabitaf car program. We'd like to say Jazakallah to our sponsorships, Hyundai of Lanesia, and we have their guest from Hyundai Lanesia, who is Mark, who is in the studios of Radio Islam International. We'd like to welcome Mark on the program. Mark, hi, good to see you, Mark. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thanks very much, Mohammed.
On the left-hand side, we have Abdul Haq Absada. Yes, Abdul Haq, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to you as well.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan for tuning into this beautiful program. And alhamdulillah, this evening, as Maulana says, we've got Mark in the studio from... We'll ask him later whether it's Hyundai or Hyundai or Hyundai.
I'll ask him. Some
Sunday
people...
Let's start now, maybe.
Yes, Mark.
Know, it's Hyundai like Sunday. That's it.
Hyundai.
Hyundai like Sunday.
Hyundai like Sunday. Some people say Hyundai. I sometimes say Hyundai. One guy said it's not Hyundai. It is Hyundai.
Yes.
I think that was cleared in the very, very beginning when Hyundai came to South Africa. I actually heard it on a program, and that was when the pronunciation was asked, and it was said like Sunday is Hyundai.
That's
so
right.
I suppose Mark is good there. Well, we've got Mark in the studio, people. You know, all those who's driving these Hyundais or Hyundais, as we said. You know, I hope you got all your questions ready because I believe he's an expert. Let's see how we can grill his chops today, Molano.
Lovely. All right, JazakAllah for the phone-in program. Genesis number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 0825-8080-70, 0825-8080-70. Alternately, it is 488-55, 488-55. Mark, tell us about the new branch in Lanesia, sir.
Okay, we reopened in January of the 4th. Unfortunately, at the moment, it still looks like a little bit of a construction site due to the Sasol renovation. But please understand, we are open. We've revamped new cars, used cars, workshop parts, the full facility we revamped. We now... Hopefully the Sasol filling station should be finished by Friday. That's what they tell me today. And then the fence will be down and then we'll be a lot more visible to the public. We now independently own franchise. We're not owned by Haase South Africa anymore, but we still abide by all Haase standards and franchise standards and technical. We have a fully qualified technical team. We have a master technician and two apprentice technicians.
Lovely. All right. Mark, with regards to Hyundai South Africa, let's talk about Hyundai. Where are these cars, you know, made? And some time ago, I came across reports saying that Hyundai is ranked as, I think, the world's fourth or the fifth largest automaker since 2007. Is that true?
I think we are fourth at the moment, according to the last standings. And I think we're fourth in South Africa at the moment on regarding to sales, behind VW, Toyota, and I'm not sure the other brand. I think it could be Nissan. But we are up there in the top brands in South Africa as well. And we are, I mean, if you look at the marketing now regarding fleets and that type of thing, they are looking at the Hyundai brand more directly now because, you know, every brand has their price increases, 3 to 4 price increases. And the good thing now about Hyundai is that we've actually given something back to the customer by increasing the warranty to 7 year 200,000 Ks. Which there's not a brand in South Africa who stands by that warranty.
Say it again, it's 7 years?
7 years or 200,000 kilometers.
That's a lot.
But that's a warranty, Molina. Now, once Mark's done there, I'd like to ask him a question on that warranty as well. Mark, are you quite okay with that?
I can take the question. I mean, we just got to understand that there are parameters to a warranty, and I know where you're going to go with this, but you've got to abide by the rules of the warranty.
Yeah, so basically, Mark, my question is, and I'm sure you like you saw it coming all the way, you know, with the 7 year, 200,000 kilometer warranty, obviously there are, you know, like you said, parameters and things like that. But my question comes in, the customer is now bound to you to service his vehicle either for 200,000 kilometers or 7 years, otherwise that warranty is null and void. Am I correct?
Correct.
So basically, you know, you sort of cutting out the mechanics or I would say the self workshops that are out there, sort of doing their little bit, you know, of work. And to me, I mean, not being one of those, I mean, that doesn't bother me, but at the end of the day, are people going to be able to cope with your services, and what sort of, your motor plan, service plan, what does that offer, and how far does it cover or carry a person within the warranty period?
Look, we have a we have a service plan on most of the products. It does vary between, unfortunately, I-10 and Grand I-10 do not come with a service plan.
Okay.
Due to the costing of the pricing of the vehicle. Okay. But it is an optional purchased extra.
Mm-hmm.
On I-20, we have 3 years, 2 years 30,000, 3 years 60,000. And then your H1s, your Buckies come with a 3 year 60,000. Those are all the service plans.
That's service plans.
Service plan, not maintenance plan.
Not a maintenance plan.
So obviously that excludes your brakes, your wiper blades, your main wear and tear items.
So basically that is your oil filter, air filter, and engine oil, and a sump plug washer.
Basic.
That's what it covers.
That's
so
it.
You guys don't have any maintenance plan?
No, it's not standard with a vehicle.
Not standard. So that's an additional purchase.
You can upgrade.
You upgrade your service plan into
to a
maintenance plan.
Correct.
And a maintenance plan, as far as your maintenance plan is concerned, what does that cover?
Everything except for tires.
Except for tires. So that's your brakes, everything all inclusive. Yeah.
Look, it's like all maintenance plans on any vehicles. A maintenance plan is considered a full service plan.
Okay.
Whereas a service plan only covers your basic service items.
Mark, question coming through via SMS. The brother wants to know, what are some of the rules regarding the warranty?
You've got to abide by the maintenance
rules. Okay, you've got to service it by Hyundai. What else?
That's the main rule. And it's got to be, let's say, for example, your clutch.
What about negligence driving?
Yes, it's not covered. So if you burn a clutch.
Yeah.
If you burn a clutch, if a person's driving with his foot on the clutch the whole time, you can see where the clutch is burnt.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we send photographs and we get approved by HASA South Africa if we can replace that part under warranty. And we do everything by the book. I mean, if we see it's wear and tear and it's a fault, it's a factory fault, it will be replaced by HASA under the warranty. If we can, if HASA South Africa tells us, look, this is driver abuse, let's use that word, driver abuse, then it won't be covered under the warranty.
Yeah, because it's rather, it's, I wouldn't say simple, but it's more easier to actually determine, ascertain as to the driver abuse as far as the clutch is concerned, because you can see which side the wear on the clutch is and things like that. Then you can determine like that. But coming back to the question Morana is asking regarding the rules of the parameter of warranty, and I think I stand to correction that you've got to service your vehicle also within a certain period. Even though you don't make the mileage,
1 year.
You've got to do the year thing. And I'm not too sure as far as Hyundai is concerned as to what sort of mileage you can go for the service prior to the time or after the time.
It's 1,500 kilometers either way, before or after.
And as far as the yearly thing is concerned, the annual service, if you don't make the mileage?
Once a year. That's correct.
So if I come in a week later, are you guys going to entertain me or not?
No, I'm sure they... I don't think... If you come a month or month and a half late, I'm sure they won't entertain you. But 3-4 days, I'm sure they will entertain it.
And at the end of the day, once these things are not met with or whatever, the warranty falls away and you guys take no part thereof, or say, listen, you know what...
Let's say, for example... Your service was due at 45,000 Ks.
Okay.
And you came in at 50,000 Ks.
Okay.
And you did your service.
All right.
Obviously, the warranty will suspend.
Okay.
You'll be charged for that service.
Okay.
So let's say you're under a maintenance or a service plan at that time as well. Look, we had an instance the other day where a client was 5 or 6,000 Ks over.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the maintenance plan will not cover that service.
Okay.
So, but if you pay that service cash... Yeah. Your next service at 75 will bring back into your service plan.
Okay. Right. And what
with, you? With your warranty.
Okay.
The same
so you don't
but
totally
don't miss it. Don't miss 3 or 4 services and then come to me and say, right, I want to service my car at now 90,000 Ks, but my first service was done at 15,000 Ks.
Yeah.
So now I want my warranty reinstated with my clutches, but you've missed 4 services.
Then you're going to kick him.
Come on. You've got to play the game either way.
Then you've got to kick him hard, Mark.
Yeah. No, then he must pay. He must suffer. I mean, that's basically driver's abuse.
Yeah. All right, let's take it further. 20 past 7, your Tune Trade Islam International. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. SMS numbers are 082-580-8070 and alternately 48855. We're waiting for the SMSs as well as the questions. All right, Abdul Haq, first question coming through with regards to the oil pressure warning light. What does it actually mean?
Different cars, different...
Is it low oil pressure?
Yeah. It's sort of a different setup in different cars. Obviously, you've got an oil light, you've got an oil pressure sensor, you've got an oil pressure switch, whatever you want to call any of these components. Within newer vehicles, obviously, you've got a oil level sensor as well. Coming to the oil pressure switch, for example, you could have some blockage in the system. Obviously, as we always harp on the fact that you've got to maintain your vehicle regularly using correct oil and things like that. The other thing is, nowadays we also tend to find that, and that is going to be my next question to Mark, is unfortunately we do find certain vehicles, as far as the oil pumps are concerned, we're getting some sort of, less life out of it. And with the result, you will put that switch on. And I personally, I'm of the opinion that it's a serious matter. It should be seen to immediately, urgently. Because if you continue driving like that and there is a lack of oil pressure in the vehicle, you are going to do a bit of a nut to your engine. And with the result, the guys are going to really hit you hard to recon the engine today.
With regards to the oil, low oil pressure, Abdul Haq, how does one diagnose it?
You cannot really diagnose it on your own. It's not something that I would say is a do-it-yourself kit. But yes, coming to the workshops, we have different methods. Unfortunately, we're not going to give you all the methods on air because guys are going to try something like that at home and they're going to have a problem. So, the main thing is using an oil pressure gauge that will give you obviously you're going to have the specification regarding the particular vehicle. Obviously, you go on Google, it'll give you an idea what the pressure is supposed to be. But yes, if we put a pressure gauge on there and we read the specs, it is below the spec, then obviously you have a problem. Coming back to the low oil pressure, Morana, that could be affected as well by excessive wear and tear in the engine. Not necessarily always the case, but yes, if a vehicle is smoking, relatively fair amount, that would also, give you low oil pressure because of the excessive wear within the engine. But just the oil low pressure level will definitely cause engine damage.
Lovely. With regards to the oil pumps, Abdul Haq, is it preferable, they say, to put the high volume oil pumps in?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, that's something you're not going to play with. You're not going to go to Pit Pompey down the road and let him look up a couple of gears and maybe swap gears around. Because what happens there is you're going to definitely run a very life short span on those things. The high volume pumps are much better because the pressure is a lot better. And with the results, you get a better lubrication. But remember, again, very, very importantly, it's not just the oil pump that will affect the oil pressure. It is also the quality of the oil, because if you use a poor quality oil, within a very short period of time, it loses its properties. And with the result, the pressure tends to, you tend to lose a bit of pressure on the oil because the oil is no more has its viscosity, especially on startup and when it's hot and things like that. I mean, it's a simple question, Monana. If your wife's frying samosas at home, she can only use that oil X amount of times. Thereafter, she's going to throw it away because the oil doesn't have its properties anymore. And yes, with the result, you're gonna end up with bad health. So very, very same thing as far as the oil pumps are concerned. Go out there, buy good quality. Obviously, the gentleman sitting in front of me, Mark from Hyundai, is going to tell me, go and buy a genuine one. I don't have a problem with that. If you can afford one, go and buy a genuine one. But Mark, coming to the oil pump, while we are at the Molana, if I just want to ask Mark this question. I have picked up on the Hyundai Getz of late that we are tending to have a bit of oil pressure on a rather good few of them. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
I can't say anything because I had one the other day with 705,000 Ks in my workshop.
Mm-hmm.
705,000
Hyundai Getz.
Hyundai Getz.
1.3
Getz. And no issues.
Is it?
The guy hasn't had any issue on the Getz at all.
So we can categorize that as a lucky packet, and the guys with the oil pump as an unlucky packet.
Look, I mean, you can say then the guys have problems with clutches on their R10s. I mean,
yeah.
But, I mean,
it's just off late. It hasn't been there before. It's just off late. So that is why the question does bounce off my mind right now as we speak.
But then we could go to the quality of the oil that you're saying.
Yeah.
Maybe they're using
No. You see
inferior
what happens,
quality Mark, brand, maybe.
Reading about Hyundai as well, Mark, you know, many of the dealerships in this network, Hyundai network, really have a very long, they have a very well-respected history as well in the motor trade, and I think you guys have some dedicated staff and expertise that have brought this Hyundai company to where it is today. Thumbs up to you guys. Well, number to call, G, 854-1548. Ziyad al-Haq.
Sorry, just to come back to the oil pump, it's not, I'm not getting at you as if to say it's a inferior quality oil pump or whatever, but have you had any of these problems and what is the remedy on that? That is more my question to you.
Look, I haven't had any issues on oil pumps. I mean, we've opened Hyundai in Asia now 4 months ago.
Okay.
And in there, I haven't had one issue of an oil pump on the gets itself.
All right. 26 minutes past 7 o'clock. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm
speaking from Peter Meadows. I've got a Hyundai Atos 2001 model.
Okay.
I've done 53,000 kilometers from brand new.
Mm-hmm.
What engine oil can I use there?
What's the best engine oil? Hyundai Atos 2001, Mark?
Well, look, we are Castrol approved. We use Castrol oil in all our workshops. And I don't think we should differ from the brand. But mineral oil. We use mineral oil in that age vehicle. All new vehicles are synthetic oil.
Okay, my brother.
Right. And the other thing is I took the car for CV joints.
Mm.
And they replaced the CV joints. Now the overdrive switch doesn't work. The light doesn't come on. Is that something related to the CV joints or what is it?
Obviously, you're talking about a automatic vehicle with the overdrive on it, all right?
Yes.
Okay, so the overdrive switch, obviously, more than likely, when busy working on the vehicle, if possible, they may have touched on one of your switches that actually connect onto the solenoids of the gearbox. And because your OD is actually operated via a solenoid, and that solenoid has to be activated via the your switch that you got by the gear lever there that makes
right,
it an
right,
OD.
Yes.
So what has probably happened more than likely, I'm not saying it is, but more than likely, you know, in working around the area, they perhaps unplugged it or pulled on a wire that has pulled away. That's very, very possible that happened, or coincidentally your switch has simultaneously packed up, and with the result you now have a problem with your OD. So I would suggest take it back to where you had it done. Let them have a look. Have you approached them?
No, I haven't approached them yet.
Yeah, it's very, very important that you should approach them and say, listen, I have this problem since this has happened. By any chance, have you guys mistakenly disconnected something and not connected it, or a wire being pulled on, or a solenoid being dented, or something like that?
Now, they said you should use Castrol oil, but what grade is it?
It's a mineral oil.
Yeah. The preferred thing would be a multi-grade mineral oil, you know, on the Atos, especially the age of the vehicle. But then I'm looking at the mileage again.
Yeah.
Which is not much at all. So
right.
I would suggest you go for something like a 10W40 or something like that. That would be a rather good lubricant for your particular vehicle.
Okay, so I can use Castrol Professional 10W40.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Or Castrol Edge.
That's good enough. That's good enough.
So I just ask for Castrol 10W40.
Are you doing your services yourself?
Yes, myself.
Okay.
If you don't find Castrol in all this thing, my brother, just put half a liter of pen oil.
No. You can actually go to any of the space shops, and most of them will have your Castrol product. But what have you been using all along? That's the question again.
I was sending it to the agents all along.
Yeah, so they have been using Castrol.
So keep sending them.
Yeah.
So you can still use your Castrol.
Okay.
And unfortunately, you don't fall in the bracket of a 7-year warranty, so I think you find servicing your own vehicle.
I'll trade it in.
It's still in brand new condition, the vehicle. You
know, it's nice little cars. Lovely to drive around. And very light on petrol, eh?
Very light. You know, every time the wife goes into town, there's at least 3-4 people waiting by the car and say, when are you selling it?
Oh, lovely. Just interesting, you bought it brand new in 2001, eh?
Yes, brand new.
And what did you pay at that time, my brother?
I'm not sure.
About 50?
Yeah, about there. somewhere around there.
All right.
Yeah, it was the first one that came out. It's got no aircon, no power steering, no electric windows. It's a standard entry-level one.
Yeah, lovely.
You don't need aircon on that. You don't need a central locking or a power steering on that.
Yeah, you just go anywhere, do shopping, park the car and walk away. Leave the keys inside. You come back, it's still there.
Yeah.
Zakala.
I hope you enjoy your motoring, and I hope we have helped you in some way.
Zakala.
You're welcome.
Gentleman from Hyundai as well.
Thanks
very much.
Thank you. Right.
Thanks.
All right, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Number to call is 854-1548. Number 082, sorry, the SMS number is 0825-8080-70. And alternative 4855. Brother Adil Miah is not with us today. Possibly, inshallah, he'll have with us one more program next week. Question of the Hakayev, 2006 Opel Astra, 81.4 hatchback. The brothers have two questions. One is, when the car is idle, the rev is not steady. Even though I change the plugs, the car is eating too much of fuel. Second question is, on a cold start, it won't start. That example, when left overnight, it does not start immediately. What can be the cause? G.
All right, there's a couple of problems that could be there, Molana, unfortunately. As far as the idling is concerned, it sounds to me more like he has a vacuum problem or a vacuum leak, either on the inlet manifold or on one of the vacuum pipes. That is what is rather typical of your Opals. The other thing on the Opel as well is if you've got one complete coil, those things also troubled quite a fair amount. And the other reasoning for fuel, high fuel consumption is if you do have a misfire or you have a problem with your inlet manifold, manifold vacuum, then obviously you what we call hunting, you know, it's a fluctuation in idling, and the more it sucks in air, the more it's going to suck in fuel as well. So I would suggest first, let's attend to the problem first of your inlet manifold, which I am now getting a bit more confident all the time as I'm talking here, is that you have a problem as far as your vacuum leak on the inlet manifold is concerned. There is one rather thick vacuum hose or pipe, should I say, that connects your inlet manifold to the bottom on your PCV valve. That's your positive crankcase ventilation valve. And if that pipe tends to sort of break away, gets brittle, because sometimes you get oil passing through there, and that is also one of the major sort of factors that would affect the thing. So I would suggest, let's have a look at your inlet manifold first. Let's take it to a guy who knows what we're talking about. Let him have a look if there's any leak on the inlet manifold. There are a couple of ways of testing it. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to give you any do-it-yourselves, because you're going to damage your engine and then you're going to cry to me. So, take it to a guy who knows what he's talking about. Let him check the inlet manifold out. If there's a leak there, then obviously that's going to solve both your problems as far as your erratic idling is concerned or your hunting is concerned, as well as your fuel consumption.
Okay. JazakAllah, 7:33 p.m. We continue, inshallah. Mark, with regards to the Hyundai, let's take somebody is asking the question regarding the Hyundai Tucson. It's a 2 liter, 2010 model. Hyundai Tucson 2010 model.
Manual or automatic?
I think manual. And added to that, would you like to tell us regarding the new Tucson's on the market, Mark?
Yeah, well, the new Tucson is replacing the iX35. We no longer do the iX35 anymore. It's a little bit bigger than the iX35, more spacious, a couple more features. Also, the 2010 Tucson 2 liter, depending on the mileage, the trade value is 110,000 on a 2010 model at this present moment.
That's your book, but Mark, what do you think it should actually?
It depends on the mileage. I mean, I traded one in with high mileage now, mm-hmm. and I gave the client, I think it was 80-85.
As much as that.
But it, depending on the condition, because it's a good seller.
All right. The other thing, like now, this is news to my ears, is that you have discontinued the iX35, and I thought that was rather a hot cake for you guys, because you were selling those iX35s like quite well, and most of the people I've spoken to have really enjoyed that particular vehicle.
Look, there's still nothing wrong with the vehicle, and on the used car market, mm-hmm. they're still doing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing, I don't think, you can't take away the quality of that model in our fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're retaining their value very well.
Yeah,
there's no, I mean, I think I've got two or three on the used car floor at the moment, which are selling. and sub 300, below the 300,000 rand mark, it's good value for money in an SUV.
Just interest sake, like somebody brings to you a car, let's say a Sonata 2-liter GLS. It's a 1996 model. The trade is about 14,500 rand, which is very, very little. Interest sake, if the car's in good condition with, say, approximately 250,000 a clock, how much would you offer the guy?
Depending, is it driving, is it working at least?
Driving, it's not really sprayed.
Mark, you should have some confidence in your product.
No, I've got confidence, but I don't have confidence in all drivers.
Yeah, no. Basically, it's a good car, it's a clean car, the brother says, and he's got about 250,000 on the clock. Not really sprayed, no accident damage, nothing. Trade is about 49. What would you offer him?
You can get between 15 and 20,000, I think, for that vehicle.
15, 20,000.
I don't think I'm wrong at that price.
No, you're spot on, sir. Accident, 1996, it's a very good car.
I mean, what was that car new?
What was it?
And let's check there in the book. I mean,
you can
it must
check
have,
it up.
What's that, a 96 Sonata?
Yes, so Hyundai Sonata, 1996 model. And, okay, we're waiting for the calls and the SMSs, inshallah.
114,000 rand.
114,000 rand.
So if we work on AA rates and he gets, let's say he gets 15,000 for his car, if we work on AA rates, that man's making a profit today.
Hey, you guys are smart. You guys are smart, guys.
He's making a profit. I mean, you take 1 rand a kilometer. He's
on that topic, Mark, how long should a person keep a car? I mean, this is just your view. For how long should a person drive a car?
Look, I think it depends on what the purpose he's using for the vehicle. It's a big, big thing. I mean, my wife drives a car, but she only does 5,000 k's a year, so she can drive her car for 10 years.
Yeah.
And but then guys who are doing, also you got to look at the way you're buying the car, the different finance packages. I mean, you can't buy a car with a residual value and you're doing 45,000-50,000 k's, because in 2 years' time you're going to owe too much on what the car's worth. I mean, I think the regulatory mileage at the moment is between 25,000-30,000 k's a year. That's what we should work on. But obviously people have work to do, life. They need to do their job. But then buy your car on a proper finance plan. But I mean, if you're doing 25,000-30,000 k's a year, you can keep your car for 3.5-4 years. But also, don't stay out the market too long.
Too long, yeah.
That's a big thing, because if you stay out the market, you buy a car this year for 150,000, you wait 6 years, you're out the game too long. You're really out the game too long. So your next purchase, the value of your car has gone way down, and you're only getting, say, 50,000 or 60,000 rand for your car. But the new car's price is now, that similar car in your bracket, what you're getting, is now 300,000.
Sure.
You've actually stayed out the game far too long, so you actually got to progress with time.
Right. With regards to GWMs, Mark, what's your view on the GWMs? Do they still make it, and are parts readily available? Dr. Hak, maybe you can assist.
Our father, no, they still make the brand.
Yeah, look, I actually had a couple of weeks ago, we had a guest on air here. Unfortunately, Moana, you were not available at that
must
time.
Have been gone hunting.
He said to me, you know, on a personal level, he says to me, don't even look at the vehicle. Yes, they do still make them to a very, not a large extent. In our country, we don't get as many. There are so many more different sort of availabilities and things like that. But the GWM generally, he finds it to be of a poor quality, unfortunately. We're not here to sort of run any...
What engines do
down.
They have?
Isuzu, isn't it?
Yeah, some of them have Isuzu engines as well. But remember something, these Isuzu engines are actually Chinese Isuzu engines. These are not your engines which we talk about, you know, Isuzu. For example, if you look at your Toyotas, you have a, what we call a Japanese motor, the 3Y, 4Y, all those motors. But then you get the Chinese motor in that as well. And initially when these guys came out, you were getting all these Chinese motors that were fitted in these particular vehicles. Look, I haven't really had much sort of experience with the vehicle or people who own the vehicle themselves. But personally, you know, when I look at it, somehow it turns me down.
What are the commercial cars you guys have, Mark? For example, the H100s. You know, the brother wants to buy the 2011 model. You know, H100, how much should he pay, and how are those buckets?
Look, I think the H100 is a is a very good commercial bucky. We sell a lot of them in this country. And they, you know, they workhorse buckies. They used to work. I think it's a 1.3 ton bucky.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, drop side. I mean, new currently they're, 257,000, a 2011 model, if you want to go back. You know, I know the trade is saying 81 and 92 at the moment, but to get a bucky like that, you're not going to get one for 90,000 rand. You're not going to get one for 90,000 rand, unless it's really, really broken. You'll probably, a good brand like that, you'll probably end up paying 110,000, 120,000 rand. Because where do you buy a good bucky at the moment for 120,000 rand?
Yeah, I know. It's difficult. Let's take it further, inshallah. It's now 7:41 p.m. SMS number 0825-8080-17. And you can call us, inshallah, on the number 011-854-1548. Abu Haq, the question states that I've now changed the in-tank petrol pump on the mine 1995 Toyota Corolla 180 ITSE 7 AFE engine 3 times in 12 months. It's changed the in-tank petrol pump on his 1995 180i 3 times. Possibly he's got revs there, my brother. After the last change, the petrol light on the dashboard stays on, indicating that there's no petrol in the tank. And he says, if I drive the car down the road just before it gets to the stop street, it switches off and I have to restart the engine. It idles well while stationary. Please advise.
Gee, this is a rather common question. The 7AFE, first of all, is the 1.8 Toyota Corolla. Well, I'm assuming 7AFE could be either be the Kentucky Rounder or the one just after that. Coming to that, those particular vehicles, is you've got to make sure that you have the correct fuel pump in there. In what I'm saying, the correct fuel pump is making sure that the pressure is correct on the outlet of the pump itself. Because it's an in tank filter, obviously, you know, there's fair amount of gravity that helps it out there. But obviously, when it pushes out, you need to have that X amount of pressure within the system to be able to operate the vehicle. As far as the fuel light is concerned, obviously, you know, they are housed in the same sort of housing as far as the pump is concerned, as well as the sender unit. And after you've obviously taken it out a couple of times, you've got a very, very sensitive component that you're dealing with, that is the fuel level sensor. And you've got windings in there that are rather very, very thin. And with the result, there could have been some sort of damage done to it, or maybe it's stuck in certain sort of position. And with the result, you're having the lights staying on permanently. Number three could be something not related to the, in-tank pump, or, you know, could be, couldn't be, but yes, more than likely you have a problem with your idle control valve, because once you say you're driving the vehicle, it's fine, it's only at the stop street where you come into the stop street. There could also be a problem as far as dirt within the accelerator throttle housing itself, and with the result, you're getting an incorrect reading, and the vehicle is now switching itself off. So that is why you have to start it up again and run on as well. Morana, just after answering this question, I just need to ask Mark something here. Mark, what is your sort of lifespan on the airflow meters on your vehicles? Because obviously they all have some sort of lifespan. I have noticed some vehicles, I'm not going to mention any names of vehicles or anything like that, but they have in their service book where they actually have a block that you can tick off if the air mass sensor was replaced or not. So I don't know what is your sort of, because those things definitely have a lifespan, and unfortunately, you know, with our maybe South African fuels and I don't know, the conditions in our country, is that why most of the vehicles, I'm not saying Hyundai, I'm saying most of the vehicles do tend to have a problem as far as your air mass sensors are concerned?
I think I'd have to check on that, but what I can say is I'm sure that in the service schedules on our brand, there will be a time or exact mileage on certain brand, on certain models, when that would be, have to be checked. I can't give you an exact on the different models.
Maybe
what, 3 years, 4 years, I mean, I'd have to come back to you and check on that, but yeah. I'm sure it will be in one of the service schedules when it needs to be checked.
If it is in the service, because I know most vehicles don't have it in the service schedule, but I've picked it up in one particular vehicle where they have it in the service schedule that has that been replaced. For example, I mean, if you look at Toyota, it gives you, you know, every maybe 100,000 Ks, you've got to replace the remotes in your batteries. I mean, the batteries in the remote for your alarm system and things like that. And I found that this particular brand had asked, actually, is the MS sensor being replaced or not? Because obviously you cannot repair those, you cannot clean them. Don't believe the guy who says he fixes them, because I haven't seen one being fixed and lasting forever.
No, I think with something like that, you'd have to replace. You wouldn't be able to fix it.
Being an electronic component.
Yes.
Being an electronic component. And you see the other things, I myself am quite confused as far as what the diodes in there, the values of the diodes. So obviously if you don't have the value of the diode, you're not going to be able to replace that diode to actually get it back to the to its actual readings.
Look, I mean, what I don't know what the normal parameter is on other vehicles, but I'm sure it will be in our service schedules when it would need to be checked.
All right. Let's take this question, Mark. Thumping noise in front of the Hyundai. First, I thought when I read the SMS, I thought this guy's wife is bashing and thumping him the way he wrote the SMS. But luckily not. It's just a car problem, Mark. It says, I have a thumping noise in the front of my 2002 Hyundai Santa, which occurs center when I go over a small bump that is turning into my driveway. The car has approximately 100,000 kilos. I had the timing belt replaced a few years ago. 4 new tires as well. It was sometime after that I started hearing the noise. And he had new link pins installed. And he took the car to Hyundai dealer, who said that the left strut had collapsed. The right is going. I had my mechanics replace the struts, strut bearings, and the loose ball joints. This was in December. However, there is still a thumping noise, but not as bad as before. Any ideas, brothers? What can this be? What's happening
shock
to this man's
engine
car?
Mounting, maybe? Something basic. It sounds like they've replaced everything, but they haven't looked at the basic things first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be rather something simple. You know, for example, like...
What about the vacuum pinion?
Coming to the vacuum pinion, you're not going to get so much of a thump out of it. There is a possibility on the mounting of the vacuum pinion if the mounting bolts are slightly loose or things like that. But I would suggest then you're not going to get it only when coming into your driveway, turning into your driveway. But that possibility does exist, yes. What I would look at also is your lower control arm bushes. The other thing is not going against the dealer or the fitment center. If perchance the strut was fitted, no problem. But you remember something, you've got to tighten everything properly. And if something was not tightened properly as well, that could eventually lead to a thump coming up again. Mm. So very, very importantly, you know, take it back to your guys there. The other thing that I have found also that tends to create a bit of a thump is if you have excessive play, wheel bearing play. I have picked it up on certain models, but I can't say as far as the Hyundai is concerned. But on the Hyundai, yes, I would suggest look at the strut again, look at your lower control arms, your ball joints, your bushes, your steering rack mounting. Not the rack maybe itself, but the steering rack itself. The other thing, well, I mean, you know, it's just rather confusing that he had all that done. The other thing is, I would also look sometime at body panels. You know, people drive over a bump or a hump and things like that, and you find that the bumper is missing a bolt or two, and that also creates a bit of an issue. Also, your fenders, your bonnets, how has it been closed? The other thing also very, very important, I find a lot of times, is the guy has a battery replaced. And unfortunately, the bracket was not put back in position. And when you hit that bump, or
the battery bounces.
The battery actually bounces, and with the result, you have a thumping sound within the bonnet. And then you take it to the mechanic or technician. Unfortunately, your explanation to him is totally different. And the poor guy looks at all the mountings and the bushes and everything else. And eventually, when he gets fed up, he smacks the battery and he finds that is loose. So with the result, I would suggest, you know, have all those things checked out.
Okay, lovely. Jazakallah. Like Abdul Haq says, something as simple as just loose balls can create havoc when tracking down a noise. It can make your life a misery. We go on further. 854-1548-0825-8087. Mark, with regards to buying a car, say for instance, I want to buy a car from somebody advertising it on one of the websites. What do I look for when buying a car, a second-hand car?
I think, you know, I can talk from what we offer at Hyundai in Asia. I mean, all Hyundai pre-owned vehicles, the H Promise now we call it, goes through a 125-point check in our workshop, so everything gets checked thoroughly. But, I mean, if you're going to go buy a vehicle at at any used car dealer, I mean, some of them have an AA check, something like that. Look at the tires, look at the mileage, and then we try and talk about people that turn the speedometers back. But yeah. I mean, you know, that.
And they don't call it, they call it, what do they advertise it as? Speedometer correction, yeah.
Or take it to the fountain of youth, or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, but drink from their mouth.
But I mean, you know, I think that's. Try and buy from a reputable dealership. And, you know, you might go to Joe Soap Motors and pay 10 or 15,000 rand less, but rather try and buy from a reputable dealership to get your guarantees in place. And just check the car thoroughly if you can. I mean, AA, I think, what do they call it? DECRA. They also do their own AA checks and that type of thing. We do 125 point checks in our workshop. It's not hidden by anyone. We play open cards. We don't hide anything. I'm not only selected to sell the Hyundai brand on my pre-owned floor, I can sell any used vehicle. So, I mean, you know, we can source, we can look for a vehicle for a customer as well if they want to contact us. Or, as we said, just make sure you try and buy something from a reputable dealership at the end of the day. But, you know, these guys selling cars on Gumtrees and all that, different websites, I suppose there are a couple of honest and straight oaks out there, but most of it is also a lot risky.
It's basically, I would say, it's risky business, unfortunately. And especially if you don't have any sort of technical, I wouldn't say background, but a wee bit of technical knowledge and know-how, if you don't have any of these things, I would suggest, you know, make an arrangement with your local, with your mechanic or your technician that you've been dealing with regularly. You know, if he can spare you some time or whatever the case may be, go and have a look at the vehicle. Let him have a look at the vehicle, because somehow, you know, over the years we've been dealing with cars, and you find that when you look at a vehicle, I mean, Maranakara has been an expert on that as well. You look at the vehicle and you can see that there's been some sort of paintwork being done on this vehicle. And unfortunately today you will find 9 out of 10 times the guy will tell you, no, there were some scratches, so we just, you know, cleaned up the scratches. It was just a touch-up. But the whole car's been resprayed. No, you know, the scratches were all over. And eventually you look at the bottom of the vehicle and you find that it's all connected with number plates that's been painted over and things like that. So it is a very, very risky business. And I would suggest, you know, get somebody involved who knows better. You know, it might cost you, even if the guy charges you $500 and you're buying a car for 150,000 rand, $500 is nothing compared to that 150,000 you're going to lose at the long run. Because unfortunately today, as I've always mentioned, valet service is absolutely deceptive. Because what happens is they clean everything up, you don't even know if the guy was driving in the bush, where he was driving, what he was driving. And like we said, you know, let it drink from the fountain of youth and the mileage goes down as well. There's so many things that unfortunately today are waiting out there. There are con men, and I'm being honest, there are con men out there waiting to con anybody that wants to buy a car. For example, I mean, you know, I had picked up a vehicle where one of my clients brought it and he had bought it already, and I actually shouted him as well. I said to him, why did you buy it before you showed it to me? And what has happened is they had put in a additive in the engine oil. And it doesn't soak the smoke, nothing. It shows like the car is running beautifully, but unfortunately he was had. There was a water leak, which the guy, I think, used a bit of gun gum over. He's blocked that up nicely, and a little spray job on top of that. Eventually, look, you know, the Consumer Council came in and he was assisted. But do you really want to go through all those hassles? Spend a couple of bucks, go to a guy who knows what he's talking about, or to the AA, they will charge you for it. Even if you spend 1,000 rand on a 150,000 rand car, you will not be losing.
All right. Jazakallah, and Jazakallah for your input, my brother. Mark, your final remarks and comments for tonight's program.
Thanks for bringing me on the show. I enjoyed it. Please, we open at Hyundai in Asia. Also, on the 4th of June, we're doing a technical day. We have the Haase South Africa team coming there for technical assistance on all Hyundai vehicles, advanced technical diagnoses, and also on any other brand they can come to us. It won't be an advanced technical diagnosis, but we can try and help, and anyone is welcome at Hyundai in Asia. Please, anyone come to us. Any bit of advice we can give, we'll try. Any deal that they want, we'll try and give.
All right.
And thanks very much. Enjoy the evening.
Thanks, Mark. You too. Have a lovely weekend, sir. Dhulhaq, Jazakallah, my brother. We continue next week, inshallah, with the Rabita Afkar program. Have a lovely weekend. From Sayyid Muhammad Kara and Brother Salim, who is the engineer. Fi amanillah, request for special du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.